Here we go. Okay, this week's parasha we learn about the man. This week's parasha Bahalaischa is jam-packed with many yisaidos, many halachos. It's a rabbi's dream come true. You have in this week's parasha anything you want to talk about, you can find in this week's parasha Bahalaischa. It really is quite a parasha to pay attention to and to study. There's a lot to learn, and we're going to jump towards the end of the parasha. We're going to focus on the pasuk of the man, at least just a little bit in the beginning. Shatu am v'laktu v'tochenu b'rechayim oidocha b'amidocha v'vishlu b'parur. The people will spread out, and they'll gather, and they'll grind in the mill. They'll crush in a mortar. They'll cook in a pot. The asu oisa ugos v'hoya ta'amoy, and the taste of the man was kitam l'shat hashamen. Was the taste of a cake. A shad simply means a cake of oil. Okay, I'm gonna go quickly, just tell you a couple of this sefer we used to spend time on this sefer and back in the past, again called Oitzer Pilla Ois HaTalmud. And everything he writes here is a Pella, is a wonder. It's written by Rav Zev Zicherman. He has really four volumes, and he always refers to the later volumes. He refers to the volume on Devarim, he refers to his volume on the Haggadah, and I don't know what he's talking about, because there is no volume on the Haggadah, there is no volume on Devarim yet. It must be that he has it all ready to go, all ready to print. He needs money to print the sefer. But in the meantime, he has some very, very nice things. And he says, I'm just going to run through very quickly, he quotes the Yalkut Shemayni. And the Yalkut Shemayni says, how many, we all were taught as children, what did the man taste like? The man tasted like anything that you liked. If a person likes steak, rare, or well done, all you had to do was kavana, I want now to taste the tam of steak. If a person likes jelly beans, all you have to do is have kavana, they should taste like jelly beans. Yeah, I want to taste like peanuts, a peanut butter sandwich. All you have to do is have that kavan, and that's like what it tasted like. So he cites the Yalkut Shemoni that says, if you were to calculate the number of possibilities, how many possibilities? So, today we live in a world when you buy a computer and they tell you about the monitor, they'll tell you, oh, this monitor has 5 million colors, 20 million colors, more colors than you can count. That was not the case when it came to the man. The man had a limited number of tastes. It was a menu. And the Yalkut Shemoni says the man had exactly 546 possibilities. You had a menu, and you had to pick for dinner which number from 1 to 546. Why? Because based on the Pasuk, it says in the Pasuk, Upirioi, Mosuk lichiki, its fruit is sweet to my palate. And Chazal darshan that pasuk in Shir HaShirim in reference to the man, and mosuk is bigmatria 546. So the man was limited. Okay, the man was not an infinite food which can taste like anything. According to Yalkut Shemoni, it's a very cute medrash. Pirioi Mosuk lichiki Yalkut Shemoni, there was a potential of 546 possible tastes in the man. Now, in the man, there was always a dilemma. In the man, could a person have a kavana to eat something not kosher? Person, you pass by, I used to every single day wait for the bus in front of Torah Vadas, in the corner of Vadas, and there was a non-kosher pizza store. And that was where the bus stop was. And every day, often, you would smell the aroma coming out of this non-kosher pizza store. And I have no doubt that this pizza store was probably also serving basar b'chalav. They probably put in the pizza, pieces of meat, different things, which certainly was not kosher. And it smelled good. Believe me, it smelled good. So l'chatchila, we know you're not supposed to really have hana, smell, but if you have a person smells, you're not reicha, ein ba milsa. But what happens to the person as a taiva? I always wanted to know, what does a hamburger taste like? I'm a very great Taivatan. What does Chazer taste like? And now is my chance. If I have in front of me a piece of man, and man, we know that man, you see, you know, the air conditioner in my room over here just went on. It's very hot here. It must be Horowitz watching me, and he hears what I'm saying, and I'm complaining, and from his smartphone in New Jersey somewhere, he just turned on the air conditioner for me because he's watching and I'm complaining. Isn't that funny? Ayin roye ve'oizen shamas. Okay, technology for you. Okay, in any event, we have over here a question. Can a person have kavanah to taste the taste of non-kosher food? So he cites here a very interesting chazal. We know this chazal and the chida.
Yalta.
Oh, exactly.
She said, you eat one thing, it tastes like.
Oh, exactly. So like, you hit the nail on the head. You are mechaven to a chida. And he says something very, very fascinating. The Pashto says, I remember this is an old sugya, it's an old topic, and the Pashto says no. The symbol in the sittings of the person does not have the ability to take the mon, which is kodesh kodashim, which is holy, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's lechem abirim, it's food of angels, to take it and to abuse it, and to use it to taste non-kosher food, it would seem to be unacceptable. Especially that we do know now that the mon had a limited number of flavors. The mon only had 546 flavors, bigamatria mosuk, sweet. So you would assume that since the mon is lechem abirim, a person does not have the right, the ability to go taste in the mon non-kosher food. But yet the chidah says, let's look at the famous Gemara, the Gemara Masech Tachul, that says, kol milsa, everything, Amar Rav Nachman, yalta, exactly what Mr. Neumann was referring to, yalta, eishes, Rav Nachman, mibala, michti, kol manda, osad lo Nachman, shor lo Nachavosei, everything that Hashem prohibited, he found for us a place, a food that has the same flavor. For example, blood. It is usher to drink blood. If you want to know what blood tastes like, you can have liver, real liver. Our liver today is ruined. They destroy it. The liver today is totally destroyed today by the kashrus industry. By burning it out more than necessary. But if you had real good liver that's fresh and was not over kashered, it was not kashered more than necessary, it would be unbelievable. It would be a delicacy that you never tasted before, and you'd be tasting real blood. You'd be tasting the equivalent of where the goyim eat blood. And this is the place where a person can eat, can actually have a time of blood. Nida, a woman who's a nida is also, but there's something called dam toyar. When a woman gets married, the first act of marital relations, there's dam, and that dam is equivalent to dam nida. Chelev, well, chelev by an animal, a behemoth is also, but chelev by a chaya is mutter. Chazir, the moicha dishibuta, there is a fish. A certain type of fish, the brain of that fish has the exact same flavor as chazir. Then there is girusa. Okay, I don't know what girusa is. I don't know what that is. A certain type of non-kosher food. Lishna, the kavra, the tongue of a fish. Okay, eshes ish, grusha, a woman who's divorced. Eshes ach, yibum. Okay, a non-Jewish woman. Yefas toyar. And what about basar, becholav? The kechal, the udder of the animal is filled with milk, and even though a person can kasher it, can cut it up in a certain way to remove all of the excess milk, there will still remain a residual amount of milk in the udder, and it's mutter. So everything that the Torah said is forbidden is mutter. So therefore the chidah says an incredible chiddush. The chidah says, look at this. We have in this world foods that are kosher, 100% kosher, with all of the hidurim, yet the flavor of this food is identical to the flavor of a certain non-kosher food, which the Torah says is categorically asur. So the Chida says that the mon should be no different. The mon is machal abirim, it is the food of angels, it is absolutely kosher. So why can't it be that a person can taste the flavor of something which is not kosher? It is no different than all of the other examples given in the Gemara. That's an amazing insight. It's an amazing insight. It's an insight which comes to explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not here in this world, did not give us this world to make it difficult for us. Many people make this very big mistake. They think that the Torah is a punishment. The Torah is here to punish us, is to limit us in what we can enjoy in this world. That is false. Sheker v'chazav. The Torah is here purely to give you benefit. Purely to give you benefit. It is not here to deny you anything. And the proof is, every single thing which the Torah said is forbidden, there is a situation where that exact flavor is permitted. Ad kidei kach, the Chidah says that the man, which is the ultimate of holiness, you're permitted lechatchila to take the man and have kavana. I want to now eat chazer. It's mutter. It's no different than the moicha de shibuta. The moicha de shibuta is a kosher fish, and it happens to be that the brain of this kosher fish has a flavor of chazer. That is 100% mutter. So it's a kosher object with the flavor of chazer. And the Torah, adarabah, the Torah wants you to enjoy the flavor of chazer. Torah doesn't want you to mamish eat chazer, but it's not taking away from you the pleasure, because the Torah gave you the shibuta, the moicha de shibuta. And that extends ad kidei kach, even when it comes to the man. You can take the man, eat the man, make a bracha on the man, and have kavana to have the tam of chazer. That to me was it's a very novel.
Did you make it like a cupcake?
What?
Did you make like a cupcake imitation, like chazer imitation, like?
Okay, so you say something very good now. So you're now coming along, you're saying something that if that's talk of the case, why then do we find that many rabbanim, they smirk, and they do not appreciate imitation foods? It goes against the grain of halacha. Like, for example, Pesach. Right. Things which are openly, they have even like a hamburger. Today they stop calling it a hamburger. But when I was a kid, it was called a hamburger. Okay, what are we having for supper? Hamburgers. What are they having for lunch in yeshiva?
Yeah, but that's,
hamburgers.
It has nothing to do with ham.
Okay, but let's go a step further. So then they have imitation ham.
But
imitation basa b'chala.
Let's go a step backwards. Well, Rabbi Fryan.
Yes.
All these artificial bacon bits and whatever, the taste is based on one guy's taste buds. He's the one who mixes the combination of whatever he mixes. And he says, this tastes to me like the piece of bacon. So you're not eating what bacon tastes like. You're eating like John Smith's imitation, what he thinks bacon or lobster, whatever tastes like.
All right, but obviously it's close enough.
Let's say you could duplicate the taste.
Yes.
Is the taste awesome or the substance?
The substance. The substance is awesome.
Now, if you never, if you were in the Midbar and you never in your life taste ham, because you didn't have a pig in the light, how are you going to imagine the taste of what a pig tastes?
Hello.
Like?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. It was, I could tell you a lot of things here. They, when they make this grain bacon, they make the imitation bacon, the person who manufactured it is a Balchuk. So he was not from, and he more than likely, I mean, I know him, and he made a lot of stuff that way. He's a Lubavitcher guy, and he became from, and a from guy, you know, invested money in the company to make it, and he's very successful, and so he knows what it tastes like, and they're putting it, what are they putting in?
But he's giving you his subjective taste. Liver, you have two people, one person there,
it tastes like bacon. It's a certain amount, it's the spices and the chemicals that makes it taste the way it tastes. And you don't know what bacon tastes like, and I don't know, but he does.
Okay, let's go further. This, obviously, there's a balance. On both sides, there's a balance.
If he's making bacon from non-bacon, then it's not actually tasting like bacon, because they're real bacon.
The highest paid Listen, you gotta listen. The highest paid employee at Alley Processing is the chemist. And that tells you everything you want to know. They make it taste.
These gentlemen are breaking up. These gentlemen are breaking up.
All right, forget.
Besides, everyone knows that everything tastes like chicken.
Okay, you're right. You're making a very good point. Obviously, there's a balance. There is a balance where it's not proper on Pesach to have a kosher LePesach pizza. Many Rabbanim, they frown upon this approach. Pesach eat matzah. Don't make imitation pizza. Imitation pizza is chametz. So now it's not the time to have pizza. Oh, but it's not really, it's kosher. It's really, it sure tastes like pizza. It looks like pizza. And the word pizza itself in your mind conjures up chametz. Now is Pesach. Let's get with the program. The program is Pesach, we don't eat chametz, we eat matzah. And there are moral, ethical lessons. It's Yitzias Mitzrayim with everything
Rabbi
that you learn.
Rabbi is breaking up. Rabbi is breaking up.
Okay, let me ask, are other people having the same problem in breaking up?
Oh, no, he's good. You're good.
No, I think the person who's complaining, he has a problem. Maybe it's batteries.
You have to. Try to go to an area in your home where you have a better connection. I think that sometimes when I'm breaking up, it's my fault. But sometimes when I break up, it could be that it's your connection is not strong enough.
It was not.
But everybody should mute at least.
Yeah, everyone is muted. Everyone now is muted. Everyone is muted. Okay, let's go further. So obviously, look, there's a balance. On the one hand, this is a chidah. The chidah is saying in an awesome chiddush. There is nothing wrong with a person taking the man, having kavana, I want now to eat chazer. Because there's nothing wrong with chazer. There's nothing wrong with the taste of chazer. And the proof is the Gemara Masechta Chulin, where Yalta tells us that the brain of the shibuta fish has the identical taste of chazer. And it's mutar lechatchila, because it's a fish, it's not chazer. So the Torah did not prohibit tam. The Torah prohibited substance. The substance of the man is Kodesh Kodashim, and there's nothing wrong with the person having kavana to eat chazer. Now, obviously, you have to be careful with that, that today to have a business, and the whole tafkid of the business is to imitate non-kosher foods. I mean, what are you doing already? You're a Jew. A Jew does not eat chazer. So if you're obsessed the entire day with eating chazer, there's something wrong. Now, but there's nothing wrong. Yes and no. There's nothing wrong with the tam of chazer, but chazer is still treif. So you have to, the substance is still treif. So you have to walk this fine line, this tightrope of understanding that the tam is mutter, and Hashem is not trying to deny us anything, but also recognizing that the Torah told us, don't eat chazer. And if you don't eat chazer, it's not the ideal thing to spend your whole day searching to make imitation products of non-kosher foods. That's not the goal. That's outside of the spirit of the law. But technically, and in the right moment, and in the right time, and in the right setting, there's nothing wrong with having the tam of chazer. And we learned that principle. It's highlighted front and center by the chidah. Next idea. Let's go back to the Mabul. In the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Noach, he sent out the Yonah. The Yonah came back with an alei zayis toraf befiah. Rashi, on that pasuk, tells us, the Yonah said to Noach, Noach, for 1 year, you've been very kind and gracious to me. You have fed me. You fed me an entire year in the Teva. I did nothing. I sat here like a king, and every day you brought in front of me food. But you know something? Now it's time to leave. I went out into the world, I found an alei zayis. An alei zayis is bitter. It's bitter as can possibly be. And when the Yonah came back to the Teva, to Noach, the Yonah was saying to Noach, better my food be given to me by the Ribbono Shel Olam, not through you, a human being, and it be bitter, then be given to me for free by you as an entitlement, and it's sweet. Okay, this is the basic moral lesson where the Torah teaches us that we should reject handouts, reject entitlements. Okay, a person is not, this is like a basic thing. Today this is very relevant. This the man It's very relevant. It's what's going on today with Black Lives Matter is entitlements. The Rashi in Chumash says the Yonis Etanoyach, better my mezonos be bitter, but come through Hashem, meaning that I earn it, I deserve it through my service to Hashem. That be given, then my food be sweet, and be given to me by a basar v'dam. What do we learn from this? We learn from this that in life, the way Hashem made this world, it's a very scary world. It's one or the other. The Yoyne was saying something very profound. This is not a perfect world. This world is nothing more than a prose dor la'olam haba. And in this world, you cannot have it all. If you're going to make your own parnasa, and your parnasa will come from Hashem, the reality is it's going to be bitter. People who have sweet food, more often than not, they're taking handouts. When the parnasa is not bitter, there's no yigia, there's no effort, there's no toil, there's no daigus, it's because someone is supporting them. It's one or the other. If it's sweet, then the person lives with the guilt that he did not earn his own keep. He's being supported. He's getting a free lunch. And when a person works hard, he does everything in his power to be nene miyigias kapoy. The way Hashem made the world is that it comes with a price, the price of bitterness, the daigos haparnosa, the struggles. That's the way it is. We always say that if you go to a cemetery and you come across a matseva, and on the matseva it says, nene miyigias kapoy, you should stop right there and be mispalo. Any kever, we assume, people, we assume that people will write on kevar things that are true. I don't know if we can say that anymore in our generation, but it used to be in the olden day on matzevos, people wrote things that were only very, very true. They wouldn't dare write anything that had any mashu of sheker. And if on a kever it says, nene migias kapoy, that means this person supported himself. He didn't take handouts. He didn't believe in entitlements. And such a person is a holy person. It's a very great thing not to have to come on to somebody else to earn your own keep. But the Yonah taught the world it comes with a very steep price, bitterness. But when you get it from Hashem, it's bitter. But when a person gets it from a basar v'dam handout, then, oh, it's easy, sweet. Yerusha money, or a person is supported, whatever it is, lives in the country where he gets he lives on Mifsim, Medicare, WIC, food stamps, and Social Security, then it is sweet. There is one exception to the rule, and that's this week's parsha. It's an exception which we don't have, unfortunately, and that is the man. The man was shad. Shad, what was the pasuk? What was it say? It was shad kishemen. It was a wafer, lishad, v'hoya ta'amoy. The taste was kitam, lishad hashemen. A wafer of oil. It was sweet. Tzapichis bedvash. It was sweet. It was delicious. It was delicious, the man. And who provided the man? Who provided the man? The Ribbono Shel Olam. So here is the one exception in the history of the world where there is a food that is coming directly from Hashem and it's sweet. Not like the Yonah said to Noach, better, my food, come to me, biyad Hashem, and be bitter like an Ale Zayis, then come from you, Noach, and be sweet. The man was machal that came directly from Hashem and was sweet. It's a very powerful idea. The one that says this idea is none other.
Rabbi Levine,
yes.
May I make a correction?
Yes.
When you use the term mofsim, the samach is not Social Security, which all of us in this group get. It's Section 8. Just to.
Woo! Okay, I stand corrected. Okay, Michal is referring to, you know, the Rashi Tevis. In America, we live on moifsim. A moifes is Rashi Tevois Mem Vav Pei Sof. Mem stands for Medicaid for the poor people. Medicaid, okay. Medicaid. And the Vav stands for WIC. And the Pei stands for food stamps. And the welfare. Samach, welfare, okay, welfare. And the Samach stands for Section 8. Okay. Okay.
Welfare.
Okay, so this is
What does it say?
Food stamps.
Food stamps.
All right, so in any event, this is from Rav Yitzchak Falage. Okay, Rav Yitzchak, this is not the Rav Chaim, this is the famous Rav Chaim Falage. He wrote the Chaya Adam. This is a different Falage. Rav Yitzchak, I really like this Vart a lot. It's a very powerful Vart. The Yoina in Parashas Noach is telling you a yisoid of life. It's not just telling you a nice little Vart. The Yoina that Noach sent out of the Teva came back with the Alei Zayis Tod Apafi is telling you the reality of life. This is the way Hashem made the world. If you make your own Parnasa, it's bitter. If you take handouts, it's sweet. There's no such thing as making your own Parnasa and having sweet food. And there's no such thing as taking from someone else and it's bitter. I mean, unfortunately, that can happen also maybe. But it's usually mutually exclusive. This is the DNA of this world. And Parshas Bahaloscha presents us with the only exception. Klal Yisrael, 40 years in the Midbar, they ate the man. The man was lechem min hashamayim, from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it is described as tzapichas bedvash, sweet, delicious. But when you're a member of Hashem's team, then you get the best of both worlds. Okay, next Yisoid. The word man, by the way, is Rosh Eitevos. Once we already mentioned the moifes, the Medicaid, the WIC, the food stamps in Section 8. Another Rosh Eitevos is man. All the Mepharshim say stands for Maaseh Nisim, or Maaseh Nisim. It was a miracle, an action of a miracle. That's what man, why we have these two letters. They come together to remind us this was something which was a miracle. Nasati Lirecha Nes. Nes is a miracle. Maaseh Nisim. Man. Okay, let's go to the next idea. Now, by the way, what bracha do you make on man? This is an old vart. What bracha do you make on man? This is a big, big machloikis. We won't spend the whole shiur on this. Either you make nothing, no bracha. You don't make a bracha. Chazal only made a bracha motzi lecha min ha'aretz. If it comes from shemayim, you can't make a bracha. Some say you make the bracha motzi lecha min ha'shamayim. Some say you make a shahakal. Some say you make the bracha, whatever you think. Whatever you think, if I want this to taste like bread, so you make hamoitzi. If I want it to taste like an orange, you make a ha'etz. A cucumber, ha'adama. And some say, hey, there was a var that was very, either no bracha, hamoitzi lechem in ha'shamayim, or whatever you have a kavana. There was another bracha, which I don't recall. There's something very intriguing. I don't remember what this other, or shahakal, shakol niya bidvaroi. I don't remember. There was something else I don't remember. Okay, let's go to the next topic.
Could it taste like slav?
So that touched upon the next topic, slav. Good question. Pashtus is not. You touched upon a very big question. We do know the Chazal tell us that the man did not taste like five things. The kishuim, avtichim, chatzir, bitzalim, shumim. How do we know this? Because when the Jewish people complained about the man, they said, Navshenu kotze balechem ha-kalekel hazeh, our neshama is yevesha, eating this dry bread. We remember the good old days back when we were in Egypt and we ate the melons, the kishuim, the avtichim, the chatzir, the betzalim, and the shumim. They listed all five different delicacies that they had when they were in Egypt. So the question is, what are you talking about? Everyone knows that when you eat the man, have kavana, what you want it to taste like. And the man will taste like whatever you think. So if you really miss the melon so much, so just think, when you eat the man, I want to think about the melons. it'll taste like a melon. You want it to taste like an onion, so think about an onion, it'll taste like the onion. So from this pasuk we learn, Chazal learned, the fact that Klal Yisrael, when they complained to Hashem, and they said, we're tired of this mon, we remember the good old days of the Kishuim, the Avtichim, the Chatzirim, the Bitzam, and the Shumim, that these five things indeed the mon did not taste like. You can sit the whole day and have kavana to remember the melons. When you bite into the mon, it did not taste like a melon. And why would that be? So what's the lumness? Why indeed would HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevent the man Hashem that can do anything, that could allow the man to taste like any food? Why did Hashem prevent the man from tasting like these five foods? And the answer is very simple. Hashem did not want us to think about Egypt. Because if we're going to be eating the man, and we're going to be thinking about the melon, and the man is going to taste like the melon, so when that flavor goes down our throat, it's going to remind us of Egypt. We're going to imagine that we're back in fantasy land, we're back in Egypt, sitting there on the plantation, building bricks and doing who knows what as slaves for Paro. Ah, it wasn't so bad to be a slave to Paro. So Hashem, by design...
Some Rabbanim don't want us to eat sushi? We shouldn't remember Shanghai or something?
I don't think that was the Kavana. I think sushi is the best food to eat possibly because you have an opportunity to make four brachas in one shot. If you eat sushi, could you imagine what an opportunity is to eat sushi? You take a little piece of rice and you make a bar mitzvah mezonos. And then you pluck out an avocado and you make a bar priho eitz. And then you pluck out a cucumber and you make a bar priho adama. And then you slice off some of the seaweed that surrounds between the mafsik, the hefsik, between the rice and alagud zachin in the orbed, the fish. You take a little piece of the fish and you make a shahakal. So if you eat a piece of sushi, you have to make four blessings. I'm talking about the sushi which has all of these ingredients. Not every piece of sushi has avocado and fish. Sometimes they don't want to mix them together. It's kalayim. But if you have the full dosage, the real good sushi that has alagud zachin, so you can make on a piece of sushi four brachas. You show me.
You got to be a bucky in that.
What bucky? What have to be a bucky?
Not everybody knows that.
What's the big chachma? You have a piece of sushi. You take a little piece of rice off it. Okay. You make a mezonos. You then pull out a little piece of avocado. You make ho'etz. You pull out a little cucumber strip. You make ho'adama. And then you take a little piece of the fish inside, together with some of the seaweed. Is a very big shayla. What bracha make on the seaweed? The stuff that goes around it. But just when you eat the fish. And then you make a shakal. You've just made four blessings. You show me another food in this world that you can make four brachas in one shot. It's pretty awesome. That's a pretty good thing. What's the purpose of living in this world other than to make a bracha to Hashem? Four brachas in one shot? Why, who would object to that? Why would anyone object to sushi? Why is pizza...
Beans and potatoes and meat...
So, Chal, you have a mezonos. You have a mezonos on the kishka. A mezonos on the kishka. You have huadama on the beans. You have on the meat. You have a shahakol. Where's the ho'etz? Where's the ho'etz? There's no ho'etz in Chaland. You only can have at most three brachas on Chaland. Sushi is better. What? I never, ever, ever saw someone put fruit into Chaland. Sorry. Never, ever saw such a thing before. Never. Never. The most you can make on Shalit are three brachas. On sushi, you can make four brachas. So sushi is no different than pizza. What's pizza? Where does pizza come from? Italy. Where does pizza come from? Italy. We're going to come... do you eat pizza with a fork and knife? Who is the one who invented the fork and knife? This thing that you have a fork and a knife. Who invented this? Why don't you eat with your bare fingers? Chassidim, this part of the thing I want to tell us today. We're going to go, Chassidim, they makbid to eat with fingers. You don't eat with utensils, especially fish. Even though today it's minanimus to eat with utensils. So they give in to meat. But fish? No. Fish, you eat with your fingers. You touch it. You put there on the fish all the germs under your fingernails. You let it ooze and gush out all the dirt under the fingernails to sink into the fish. Okay, not today, obviously. Today, we live in a new world But it used to be in the previous generations where, I don't know why it was different then, they died from diseases then also, but it used to be in the Shri Dikadaris that they did not necessarily eat with utensils. Rabbeinu Hananel, this is part of our topic today, he says that the one who invented utensils were the Yevanim. Yevanim, nikbitzu lechanukah. They're the ones who invented the eating with utensils. And it's nisht a Yiddish zach to eat with utensils. You eat with your fingers. However, Rabbeinu Hananel also seems to say that the Klal Yisrael has accepted this to eat with utensils. I think the raya is, Yaft Elokim li yefes the yishkoim be'ohol eshem. That's a fulfillment, that is a very practical fulfillment of this pasuk in the Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, gave a bracha to Yefes. Yefes was a good guy. He covered up his father's nakedness. Okay? Noach was naked. It was in shame. And Yefes, with shame, they took the garment, they covered him over. In reward, Hashem gave Yefes a bracha. Yaft Elokim li Yefes. Noach gave a bracha to Yefes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant Yefes beauty. Yoifi, the Yishkoin, may the beauty of Yefes, may it dwell be'ohol Hashem. You know, the Arabs are very religious. At least they used to be. They used to be very religious. I don't know why. Muhammad was a little strange, but there used to be some degree of religion. But you notice they're nomads. What's this shmatis they're wearing? I still don't get it. Come on, you know, put on some nice clothing. What are they wearing these shmatis? What's this all about? They may think they have religion, but there's no yoifi. The beauty, where's the beauty? The truth is that Klal Yisrael, we're very spiritual people. So who needs yoifi? Who needs to have a fancy house? Who needs to have a fancy clothing, a nice car? You have to have a nice car. You drive a jalopy. You drive a Chevy. Who needs to have these nice fancy cars? Teretz is, no. It's a bracha. It's Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to inject into their yadus, not to be like the Arabs, to inject into their religion yoifi. And this is the bracha of Noach, Yaft Elokim li Yefes. The one that specializes in yoifi, in beauty, is Yefes, Yavan. The Yishkoin, be'ohol eshem, the midah of yoifi, that is primarily the Yerusha, the legacy of Yefes, shall be incorporated into Klal Yisrael. That's a reality. That's why Chanukah, where Hashem was matzil us from the Yevanim, it's not the pshat that Hashem saved us from the Yevanim. We extracted from the Yevanim the good, and we got rid of the garbage. Yavan has what to offer. Yavan knows how to live in this world. They know what yoifi is. We make a mistake and we think that Chanukah is the festival where there was an enemy who rose up against us and we obliterated them. No, we didn't obliterate them. We took from them the good qualities of what they have to offer, and the psoilas, the garbage, we flush down the toilet. Yavon.
We changed it. The Greeks had the forks with three tines, and we installed the fourth one.
We did? Yes, we did. We did the fourth one.
The Gemara, yeah. In the daf the other day, we had the word mazleg.
Yes.
Which
pitchfork.
Rashi calls a fork, the three
prong fork
that he just referred to. Not to mention that kaf is mentioned in the Torah, but okay.
Kaf, achas, asara, zohav, that's the princes, they brought a spoon. But that was for the ketores. It's not for eating. Eating, we really do not have a makar. The only place you find a fork on the mizbeach. On the mizbeach, they use pitchforks or big pots to take the meat out. But when you actually sat down to eat, you use your fingers. Who invented this principle of eating with utensils? It was the Yevanim. So I want to suggest that this, that we today, it is accepted as a given in society amongst Klal Yisrael, min animus, that you eat with utensils. You do not eat meat with your bare hands. This comes from the Greeks. And it is a fulfillment of the pasuk, Yaft Elokim Liefes, the Yishkoin Be'ohol Eshem. Just as we have taken into our lives the principle of beauty, which is not our legacy. Klal Yisrael are spiritual people. We're too busy learning pshat and taisvis than to be busy with, you know, a fancy car, to color-coordinated seats, to make sure that, or today, you know, today now, you have to make sure that the mask matches your suit. I wore on Yom Tov a very nice, a blue tie, the same color as a blazer's shirt. I was wearing that same color, the same color as of Kalman's shirt. I wore a tie that color, and I told people, because the tie has to match the mask. You have to be in style. If you're going to wear the mask, all I have at home is the blue mask. I didn't yet get a hold of the design. I already see a lot of people now. Nancy Pelosi, I see she really goes to town. She has nothing else to do, I guess, than to...
Wait till you see the mask that I posted on Facebook.
Now it's a new business. It's a new business now. Designer masks. Soon, you know, they sell... You have to have the tie, and you have to have, you know, the handkerchief that goes in your jacket, and what else? The cufflinks, they have to match. So part of the set is the mask. The mask also has to be color coordinated. Chamana Litzlan, that's what we're dealing with now in this world. But in any event, who was the one who invented Yoifi? We're too busy with Tosfos in order to deal with beauty. It's not our nature. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I know it's not your thing, but you have to incorporate this beautiful thing of Yoifi into Yados. Hidur mitzvah. Okay, Hidur mitzvah, that's like Chanukah. Chanukah is all about Hidur. Amahadrin, ner l'chol echad v'yechad. V'hamahadrin, min amahadrin. Moisev ha'olech. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is not a Yom Tov of victory. It's a Yom Tov of extraction. Okay, it's a different type of Yom Tov. You have to go through all of the four Golios. Rav Chol is the expert, the resident expert on the Dalam Alchios. Each of the Dalam Alchios, what are we trying to do? We're trying to destroy, or are we trying to incorporate, or are we trying to extract? What exactly is we have to think about this? But when it comes to Yavon, Lachar, when it comes to Edom, the goal is to destroy, to defeat. I'm assuming that to be true, to defeat. When it comes to Yavon, the goal is not to defeat. That's incorrect. The goal is to extract. Yavon has what to offer? It's a pasuk. Yaft Elokim liyafes v'yishkoin be'ohalei shein. Yafes is dangerous. They went to an extreme. We have to watch out, protect us from the extreme element of Yavon, of where everything is just a science and beauty and there's no spirituality. But to extract the Yoifi in Yafes and incorporate that into Yados, that's part of Hashem's Ratzon. Included in that principle is the etiquette of eating with utensils. So when you eat with a utensil, you'll be Makayim HaShenemar, Yaftalukim Liyafes, they invented this, the Yishkoin Be'oholei Shein. And that includes the eating of meat. Meat we eat with utensils. By the way, there's no Gelo Cholamaisa to prove this to you, this idea. Today, many of us are not Nizhar in Mayim Acharoinim. Why not? Why today are many people Nichshol in not washing Mayim Acharoinim? Especially women. Do you ever see a woman wash Mayim Acharoinim? It's very rare. Most women do not wash Mayim Acharoinim. They're never, for some reason, never around when it comes to benching. They disappear. They bench by themselves and they're gone. I don't know, not by everyone. But for some reason, women have this tendency to disappear for benching. They're long gone. Mayim Acharoinim? Who ever heard of a woman washing Mayim Acharoinim? I mean, I have no doubt. Listen, there are women today who make a Siman Shas, who learn Daf Yomi, give Daf Yomi Shirim, who give Shirim and Tanakh. Most women will tell us that they know a lot more than us. Most of the time it's true also. But more often than not, you don't see women. What's the answer? So the answer is very simple. In the time of Chazal, they did not eat with utensils. They did not. They ate with their hands. Like what everyone here does when no one is watching. You eat with your hands. You don't eat with utensils. So when you eat with your hands get dirty. When they get dirty, it's not bakovedik to bench unless you first wash mayim acharoinim, especially if there's residue of poison, of dangerous substances, which can get into your eyes. You see, Chazal were way ahead of the CDC. CDC says, don't touch your mouth, nose, and eyes, because you can transmit disease to your body through your eyes. Chazal said, if you don't, when you finish eating, wash your hands, because your hands may be dirty, and you will transmit disease through your eyes. Melach Sidoimis. That's why they were makbid amayim acharonim. But bizman hazeh, we are civilized. We are advanced creatures of society. We eat with utensils. We do not come in contact with the food. So therefore, there's no need to wash mayim acharonim, and that's why many people are very lenient and lax in actually washing mayim acharonim, because they don't really touch the food, especially women. Women are much, much better in not touching their food than men. Men are they're rough, they're grub, they have a coarseness, they like to touch the food. Women are much more delicate. Women, b'derech klal, at a meal, do not touch the food. And that's why women don't need to wash mayim achroinim. When did this change come about? Well, Rabbeinu Hananel, who was from the early Rishonim, speaks about this change coming about in his day. So we see from Rabbeinu Hananel that the Yevonim invented this, and it took time for Klal Yisrael to adapt. But the Tanoim and the Amoraim, when they spoke about the laws of eating and etiquette and all of these things, they ate with their bare hands. Okay? And eating with your bare hands, Adarabba, there's a lot of Torah, he writes over here about this principle, that we know when it comes to making hamaitzi lechem min ha'aretz, you are supposed to, even today, you're supposed to put your 10 fingers on the bread. You're supposed to rest the 10 fingers on the loaf of bread. Because, I don't know, whatever it is, the Poseches Yodechel Maspia Lechol Chayrot, Tzayin Hashem opens up his hand and he puts it in our hand. There's something to putting to your bare hands touching the food. Chabad, the old Chabad Chassidim, I do not know if this is true today, this is what I read, that in Chabad, in the previous times, would not use an umbrella. When they went out into the street, if it was raining, no such thing as an umbrella. Why? Because the Geshem is called Bracha. If Hashem showers down upon you Bracha, why would you want to be mafsik? Why would you want to put a chatzitza to put something between you and the rain to prevent the blessing coming upon you? So they would not dare use an umbrella to separate themselves from contact with Hashem's blessing. If Hashem gives you food to eat, food is a bracha. Why do you want to be mafsik and not touch the food? Touch the food. Put the food directly into your mouth. And in fact, some of the farshi goes on to say is that a person doesn't really taste the food unless you touch it. If you do not touch the food, you're lacking in the full taste of the food. Touching and tasting are toloi zeh bzeh. Those who learned the Daf Yomi, yesterday's fascinating word, the Gemara talks about cutting nails on Shabbos. If you cut somebody else's nails with a nail clipper, are you chayiv for the malacha of goizeh? There's a halacha that if you cut your nails with a nail clipper, with a utensil, it's a toilada of goizeh. One of the malachas deraisa is shearing wool off an animal. A sheep has wool. If you take the clippers and you cut the wool off the animal's back, that is a malacha deraisa called goizeh, shearing wool. If you take nail clipper and you cut your nail, you have done exactly the same thing. You have taken off something off your body with a utensil, even though it's not exactly the same, but that's what it says in the Gemara. Called goizes. What happens if you go for manicure and someone else cuts your nails? The person who cuts your nails is potter. You know why? Because they cannot cut your nails with the same precision that you can cut your own nails. Only you can sense exactly where your finger should be when you clip your nail. Only you can sense. Only you can do it perfectly. Someone else cannot do it perfectly. So if someone else cuts your nails on Shabbos, they are potter because there's a lack of precision. Same thing is true when it comes to food. That's what it says here in this big book here. That when it comes to food, the reason why me'ikar hadin, you're not supposed to use a utensil. Listen, a disclaimer. Today, if you don't use a utensil, you're not going to get a shidduch. That I can tell you. No one's going to want to marry your grandchildren. And pashut, it's just dangerous, okay? It's just sakonis nefashos, because today we live in a very dangerous world, and the dirt on your finger, we know, is who knows what's on your finger, and certainly who knows what's in between your fingernail and your finger. So obviously today, no one's going to be a fool to eat with their bare hands. Okay, so that's my disclaimer. So don't go say, I'm telling you to eat with your bare hands. But let's go back to ancient times. In ancient times, no, they bidafka ate with their fingers. Do you know why? Because you cannot possibly enjoy the food if you eat with a utensil. Eating with a utensil, you're taking away the pleasure of precision in your eating. By taking the food with your bare fingers and putting it in your mouth exactly where you want and how you want it, and feeling the food, it enhances the pleasure of achila. It's an incredible chiddush. And some say when you make the bracha of shakol on the food, it's not just the tam achila, it's also the tam hanishush. It's the pleasure of feeling the food. It's an incredible thing. I'll give you another example. He quotes over here, another incredible mashal he gives. There's a very famous medrash. The medrash says that there's a person who is mispalel to Hashem, who was a poor man. He wanted to be rich. He was mispalel that whatever he touches should turn into gold. You hear people like, right? People, they have a magic touch. Midas, the magic touch. Whatever this fellow touches, it turns into gold. And Hashem granted him his request. Problem was, he was unable to enjoy anything in this world. He saw in the store a delicious piece of meat, and he purchased it and he touched it, it turned into gold. Whatever he touched, it turned into gold. He could not have any pleasure. So the commentators ask a very simple question. What's the big deal? You're so rich, you have in your bank an infinite amount of gold. Hire a person to feed you so you won't have to touch the food. So you'll sit down at the table and a servant will come in with a luscious, delicious steak which only the richest men in the world can afford to buy, from the most exotic animal, whatever it is, with all the chumas of kashrus, and you'll sit down and you'll have your hands tied behind your back, because if you touch it, it turns into gold. You won't touch it. I'll put my hands behind my back and someone will spoon feed me this delicious food. And the Farshim answer, you know why the Gemara didn't say this? Because there's no hana. You'll have no pleasure in eating this food when somebody is feeding you. Part of the hana, the pleasure of eating, is putting the food in your mouth. And by extension, touching the food. If someone has to feed it to you, there's something lacking. There is something lacking in absorbing the full flavor, the full experience. For example, Friday night, we light candles. Why? We want you to see the food. Eating is a very complicated experience. When you eat food, there's smell. There is seeing the food. And then there is more. There is actually touching the food. And there is putting the food in your mouth with your bare hands. All of this is part of the experience. So to use a utensil, it's very nice. And there's a beauty, there's a midah of their cheretz, of eating with a fork and a knife. And the one that invented this indeed is Yefes. And we have accepted it. We have accepted it. But the acceptance of this beautiful thing of eating with a fork and a knife, utensils, comes with a price. It comes with a price. What's the price? That the food doesn't taste as good. The pleasure of eating is not the same. Like we said before, with the Yonah. The Yonah said, better my food come bidei shomayim and be bitter than come bidei adam and be sweet. We do not touch the food. Why? It's derech eretz. It's an act of yirah shomayim. That means it's an acknowledgement there's a creator, and we have to discipline ourselves, and we have to be dignified people. That's a spiritual matter. That's an acknowledgement of the creator. That comes with a price. The price is the food doesn't taste as good because I can't touch it. I can't have that same feel. If I want to be a barbarian and touch the food, oh, then it's bidei adam. It's all about me. Ah, it's delicious. That's life. That's life. Life is not fair. You cannot have it all. Life is all about trade-offs. You cannot have it all in life. That's a rule. Torah u'gedula b'mokim echad. I don't know who you're talking about. There's no such thing today as Torah u'gedula b'mokim echad. If you're rich, you're not a Talmud Chacham. If you're a Talmud Chacham, then you're not rich. It may seem like you have both, but it's not really both. It's no such thing. There's no such thing as having everything. You cannot have everything. If our food's going to taste delicious, the full experience of touching the meat and stuffing our mouths with the meat, where's the Yirah Shamayim? Where's the Nimus? Hashem gave us the Yevonim. Yaf Elokim Liyafis, the Yishkoim Be'ohale in the tents of shame. That's us. What are you doing? You're going to be a barbarian? That's not the way you eat. Okay, I'm going to have derech eretz. I'm going to now eat with a fork and a knife utensil. By doing so, the food doesn't taste so good anymore. I'm not able to suck out the marrow of it and touch it and feel the precision is not the same. That's right. Life is all about trade-offs. Okay, let's go now to another topic. Another topic. This blew my mind. How many days a year are you supposed to eat meat? How many days of the year do we eat meat? So it says here you eat meat 67 days a year. 67 days a year is the proper number of days that you're allowed to eat meat. If you have a diet, go on Amazon, make a new book. Meat 67 days a year. Healthy diet. Healthy diet is you select out of the year, 365 days a year, only eat meat from those 365 days, 67 days, you'll live forever. You'll live forever, you'll have a healthy life. Where does it come from, such a bizarre thing? The pasuk. What's the pasuk? The slav. Hashem says, the people complain, we remember the good old days in Egypt. We had fish. Hashem says, you want meat? Okay, I'll give you meat. Moshe says, "V'nasan Hashem luchem bosa v'achaltem lo yom echad toichlun. You won't eat for a day. V'lo yomayim, v'lo chamisha yamim, v'lo yasara yamim, v'lo esrim yom ad chodesh yamim. You'll eat for 30 days." So pasuk in Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Yud Ches, the pasuk Chaf, pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you want meat? Okay. You'll have meat for the next 30 days. The slav. Okay, the slav. And the people who ate the slav, there was a magefa, they died. Whole story in the parish, what happened to them. You want meat? Good. You'll have meat. Not for 1 day. Not for 2 days. Not for 5 days. Not for 10 days. Not for 20 days. I'm going to give you meat for 30, for, it doesn't say 30 days, it says for a chodesh, for a month. How many days are there in a month? 29 and change. So let's round it down to 29. Moshe, you'll have meat for a whole month. Now, Now, if you add up all the numbers in this pasuk, a month is 29, plus 20, plus 10, plus 5, plus 2, plus 1, it equals 67. This pasuk is being merames that the number of days that a person should eat meat during the year, and he will not suffer any consequence of high blood pressure and cholesterol for eating red meat. Right? They tell you, don't eat meat, don't do this, because it's going to your blood pressure, because of cholesterol, because of this, because of that. Don't eat meat. So the Torah says, that's right, eating meat is not necessarily a healthy thing. The Rambam, Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, says the shocking thing he says. Why is it? This is totally shocking. How can you say such a thing? But that's what he says. How come the people who lived before Noah lived to the age of 900 years, 1,000 years, no, only 1,000, they lived. The oldest person was in 960, 970. I've got one person who lived up to almost 1,000 years. Adam lived 930 years. He gave away 70 years to David, but there was a person there in Maaseh Bereishis who lived up, I think, to 960 or 970. I don't remember who the person was. Other people lived 900, 800, 700, 600. Why did they live so long? How come today people...
So Shalach lived 969.
969. Wow. That's a long time to live in this world. 969 years. How come today people, you know, they go much earlier than 969 years? What happened to people? So you know what Rabbi Avraham and Rambam says? Shocking thing he says. Because they were vegetarians. Hashem did not permit the eating of meat until after the Mabul. The first time Hashem allowed man to slaughter animals and eat meat was when Noach came out of the Teva. Hashem said, you can now eat basar, which means until the Teva, the Mabul, until the Mabul happened, there was no permission for man to slaughter an animal to eat meat. So what did man eat? He ate products of the earth. They were basically vegetarians. Vegans? Vegetarians? I don't know. Whatever. Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, that's why they lived very long. They had a healthy diet. Isn't that a shocking thing to say? Because today we know that if a person is a vegetarian, means nothing. A vegetarian today doesn't mean he'll have any longer life expectancy than a person who eats meat. And a vegan, they say, is very dangerous. A vegan is more dangerous than a vegetarian. You're missing basic proteins. Sakonis nefash to be a vegan. So what is exactly the Rabbi Avraham and Rambam mean when he says that the reason why they lived for 1,000 years is because they did not eat meat. Meat is not necessarily a good thing to eat. Eating meat brings disease, high blood pressure, cholesterol, alikud zachen. Comes when a person eats meat. So what's going on over here? So the answer is enochinami, like everything in life, moderation. Everything has to be taken in moderation. What's the problem in moderation for basar? 67 days. It's merumas in this pasuk that says lo yoim echav, lo yomayim, lo chamish, lo yasarav, lo eshim, chodesh yamim, 29 plus 20 plus 10 plus 5 plus 2 plus 1 equals 67. How do you get 67 days? How many Shabbosos are there in a year? 50. In a year of 254 days, a lunar year, there are 50 Shabbosos. Besides Shabbosos, there are 2 days of Pesach. I'm sorry, 4 days of Pesach. We'll tell you over here, Ram, it's indicated the different ways. There are different ways to make the calculation. I'm not going to go spend the whole day on this, but the Mefarsh make a very detailed calculation. Shabbos and Yom Tov, it comes out exactly 67 days. There are four, in Chutz Li'aretz, there are 4 days of Pesach. The first two days and the last 2 days. We're not including Chol Hamoed. And Shavuos are 2 days. Rosh Hashanah are 2 days. Erev Yom Kippur. Not Yom Kippur, but Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to eat basar. That's not so clear. That's not really true. Erev Yom Kippur, you're not even allowed to eat basar. People don't know that halacha. The Suda Mafsekes. That's a very good question. The Suda Hamafsekes, the minig is not to eat meat. People don't know that. Some people, they don't realize they prepare for the Suda Mafsekes. Erev Yom Kippur, they prepare meat. You're not supposed to eat meat because meat is din. Chicken or fish, not meat. If you're invited to a su'udah and they don't know the halacha and they serve you meat, you can eat it. Don't insult them. But a person knows halacha. But so again, it says over here that part of the calculation of 67 days is meat. It's not a kasha because you can make the calculation in many, many ways. What about Purim? Purim is a zman of Suda. The Suda's Purim is also eat meat. All right, we're not going to make the calculation now, but if you make the calculation, I'll show you later if you want. I'll show you all the details. It comes out 67 days of the year on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's the only time per should meet. The other days of the week, it's good to stay away. And that way, you know, a person has a healthy diet. Okay, now along those lines, that topic of discussion, he gets into a topic of discussion. What about Purim? Is Purim a day when you're supposed to eat meat? Is that a day, the big dilemma in halacha, are you mechuyev to eat meat on Purim? Even Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not mechuyev to eat meat. Yet we include Shabbos in the calculation because oinek. If you do eat meat, you're mekayim the mitzvah of oinek Shabbos. What about Purim? So as an aside, he quotes this beautiful pshat. I never heard this pshat. In the piyot of Orur Haman Chayiv Adam Livasume Bipuraya Ad Lo Yada Ben Orur Haman Lebaruch Mordechai. Everyone knows the famous part that the gematria of Orur Haman is the same gematria as Baruch Mordechai. What is the gematria of Orur Haman and Orur Mordechai? What is the gematria? The gematria is 502. Okay, that's an old vart. They have the same gematria. Arur Haman is 502 and Baruch Mordechai is 502. When a person gets to a state of intoxication where he cannot add up two numbers, for some of us that's every single day because some of us can't even add up 1 plus 1. When a person gets to a state where you can't add up the numbers of Arur Haman, Baruch Mordechai, you know it's time to call it quits. You know you are Mekayim, the mitzvah of Chayiv Adam Lebasim Puraya Adelo Yada. Guess what? The number 502 is also the gematria Bosar. And what this is alluding to is, when do you know it's time to call it quits? You've eaten enough, you've consumed enough yayin, when you can't tell the difference between a good steak and a bad steak. When you can't tell the difference between two different types of Bosar. You go to a restaurant, and you ask them, they have many different types of meat, many different types of, it can be done in many ways, rare, medium, well done, full of chul, all different type parts of the body. When a person reaches a state that chayiv adam levasim b'puraya, ad lo yada, bein oror haman lebaruch Mordechai, is nothing more than a code word, bein bosar lebosar. You're obligated to drink yayin until you reach a state where you cannot differentiate between bosar and bosar, different types of meat. A meat of this quality and a meat of another quality. In other words, it alludes to the principle that man has is a feinschmeck. He has a certain sense of appreciating different qualities of meat. Okay, a few more quick things. Basar. There used to be a minig, this used to be a very popular minig. I never heard of this before, but it seems that it's definitely documented as an old minig, which I've never heard in America. On Wednesday, not to eat meat and not to drink wine. You ever hear this? Today's Wednesday. Hayoyim yoyim revi b'shabas. On Wednesday, you don't eat meat, you don't drink wine. You know why? Zecher l'chorben. One day a week, a person should focus on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Ever heard this before? Never heard this before. But this used to be a very common minhag. What about eating? There used to be a minhag to eat meat on Friday. Why would you want to eat a piece of meat on Friday? Toyameha, because you want to taste the Shabbos food? All right, maybe. But it seems that, I don't know this, you know Christian theology? The Christians do not eat meat on Friday and Saturday. They don't eat meat. Maybe it's because they want to prepare for a good meat meal on Sunday.
It's only Friday.
Only Friday?
That was the long-standing custom
among Catholics. Because he died on Friday.
Because he died. Because Yoshka died on Friday? Okay, so it's a, yes. in response to show lahachis, that I'm not a noitzri, and lahachis, it used to be Jewish custom to bedafka eat meat on Friday, to make a statement, at least amongst ourselves, to stay away from these people. Whatever they do, we do the opposite. If they button their jackets by putting it left over right or right over left, whatever, I don't even know what I do myself, we do the opposite. Whatever they do, they do not eat meat on Friday. They will say hakpada bedavka to eat meat on Friday. Okay, next, quick.
And that's why the same thing, they don't eat, supposedly not eat meat for Lent for 40 days.
For 40 days?
40 days, because Yashu was in solitude for 40 days, so they supposedly they don't eat meat, which is why all the tuna fish companies have their sales for Lent.
Wow.
Lent.
Interesting,
right.
Very interesting. Next topic. Here's a halachic shaila. Are you allowed to give a dog kosher meat? It says in the pasuk, nevela utrefa lo sechelu, do not eat a nevela utrefa la kelev tashlichun oisai. If a shochet does a shchita, something goes wrong, what does he do with the non-kosher meat? You throw it to the dog. Why? Reward. When we left Egypt, the dogs did not bark. In reward for being quiet, we give them meat. What happens if the meat is glat kosher? Glat kosher, C-R-C-O-U, you name it. All the best hashkachas, and guess what? It's extra. It's going to go in the garbage. There's no one here who wants to eat it. It's going to spoil. Am I allowed to take kosher meat that has all
Beis
the...
Beis Yosef Glat
with Allah Hidurim and Hechsherim from Allah Gresser Ebbis. Are you allowed to give it to the dog to eat? So many Paiskim say the Orachayim, the holy Orachayim, in Perish and Chumash, we're all enamored with this Perish and Chumash. It's a very popular topic. They wrote an article, even translated into English, and many Rabbanim give Shi'ul Orachayim. He writes, Chidush Nifla, that's every paragraph in this sefer begins with the word Nifla. A Chidush Nifla, She'osur, a halachic rule. It is Osur L'Hachil Basar Kosher L'Kelef. Why? Because it's a dig in the pasuk. You give the dog Nevela Utrefa. You don't give the dog kosher meat.
There's always going to be someone who's going to ask for meat.
I knew you would say something along those lines. In fact, I thought you would say something even worse, which I'm not going to say. Use your imagination. But in any event, the chol, it says, it's not, you don't give, you're not allowed, it's not proper to give a dog kosher. Bezoyin. I mean, there are many different ways to twist and turn with the depth of what he's trying to say is, if this meat is kosher, you don't, you're better throw the meat in the garbage. Isn't it an amazing thing? Kosher meat is sacred. When you slaughter an animal, you're doing to the animal of chulin the same thing you do to a korban. The laws of shechita are derived v'zavachta. The laws of shechita for chulin doesn't say anywhere in the Torah. Kasher tzivi sicha. It says one word, kasher tzivi sicha, like I commanded you. And from there we learn mounds and mounds of laws of shechita. Every single law of shechita for chulin is derived from kadoshim. Karbonis. A piece of meat that you put in your mouth that had shechita is basically a cousin to a korban that goes on the mizbeach. You don't take kadoshim and disgrace it by giving it to a dog. A dog is not a holy animal. A dog in the world of halacha is a lowly animal. I once heard from Rav Tzadok, a dog is, the Rav Tzadik says that the dog is the least spiritual of all the animals. Why is a dog called man's best friend? Why isn't a horse called man's best friend? A camel? Why isn't a hamster that a child has called man's best friend? You know what the answer of Tzadik says? Every single living creature in this world has a sense that there's a creator. there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. So when a horse looks at a person, he says to the person, who are you? Who do you think you are? You whip me? How dare you take a whip and strike me on the back so I should gallop quicker? Who do you think you are? Who are you? You're not the boss here. The boss is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even the horse has a sense that there is a creator. And if there is a creator, man is a nothing, is a piece of garbage. So who do you think you are? So a horse has no respect for man. A dog has no sense, or he says, but has no sense, there's a God. He doesn't have that, the spiritual antenna to sense there's a God. So when a dog looks around this world and he searches for God, who's God? Man is God. A human being is God, because who else? He doesn't have that sense. So if man is God, a dog worships man. He worships his master. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing that man is, that dog is man's best friend. The reason why dog is man's best friend is because the dog doesn't understand that there is someone above man called God. Other animals do have that sense, and they look at man and they say, you know better than me, just because you walk vertically and I walk I walk horizontally, that makes you better. We're both creatures of God. Therefore, to take a piece of meat, which is sacred, that had a kosher shechita, like a korban, and to give it to a dog is a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And this, you should know, is challenging for all of the kashrus organizations, because there are parts of the animal, this is a very big halach, they don't follow this arachayim. Okay, they may go and they may give millions of dollars to publish the Arachayim and go to his kever and pledge allegiance to the Arachayim. But what goes on in the Shlachta, Rabbi Mayevsky can tell us better than anyone else, what do? They slaughter animals, glat, base Yosef glat, as kosher as it gets. The FDA does not allow a human being to eat every part of the animal. There are parts of the animal which are off limits. I don't know what they are, but there are certain parts that are deemed by the FDA to be not healthy for human consumption. So where do they go? They're sold for dog food. They're sold to companies that make literally out of these parts of the animal dog food. What do you mean? This dog food comes from meat, comes from an animal that was fit to go on the Mizbeach as a korban. It had a kosher shechita. It was Beis Yosef glat. And you're taking the kishkas, some part of the intestines which are not healthy for man, and you're making out of it dog food. You can't do that. You can't take an animal that is sacred, an animal that has been slaughtered and is kosher. Arachayim says, Osur lahachil bosar kosher lekelef. Dekevo dechozi lebar Yisrael. The dafka bosar nezelo. Who hit the rakas of Yomar lekelef tashlichu noisai. But now when it comes to kosher meat, which is sacred, yet this is not accepted lahalacha, and in fact it's a $1 million industry to take parts of the animal that may not be consumed by human beings because of government regulations and sell it for all different types of uses. And a very popular use is animal food, pet food. And part of pet food, they have cat food and this food and that food. But one of the more popular pet foods is dogs. Dogs are a $1 trillion industry in this country. Dogs are more popular than people. By the way, the word lakelev is Roshei Tevos. Lakelev is Roshei Tevos. Lo lehashlich basar kosher. Okay, as a way to remember this, this arachayim, lakelev tashlichun oiso. You throw to a dog nevelu treifa. Lakelev tashlichun. But, be careful. Lo lehashlich Bosar kosher. It doesn't mean these type of vegetarians don't impress me. But that's now for all one last thing. All of the creatures in Chazal, which creature is the enjoys meat the most? It is the ze'ev, the wolf. The wolf is the creature whose essence is to eat meat. Stay far away from a wolf. Because a wolf likes to eat meat. And the word ze'ev, this is a chazal, is ze oichel bosar. Zayin aleph beis. Taraif taraf Yosef. Okay, it was the worst thing they can possibly do to say to their father, Yaakov, Yosef has been ripped apart by a ze'ev. Because a ze'ev is ze oichel bosar. And Yaakov Avinu, why was that word so painful to Yaakov Avinu? Ach atzmi ubisori ata. When Yaakov Avinu, he met, this gives you a whole new insight into Mechiras Yosef. A whole new unbelievable insight, which really is earth-shattering. Yaakov comes to Lavan. He runs away from Esav. He comes to Lavan. He sees this girl. Love at first sight. He wants to marry Rachel. He wants to marry her. And he goes to Lavan, and he says to Lavan, I want to marry her. So Lavan says in the conversation, Nu, ach atzmi ubisori ata. You're my boser v'dam. So I'll do it for you. And that was one of the first things he said to me. I will see exactly in the context. He called him boser. Now, who did he have from Rachel? Yosef. Yosef ben Yamin. And now, when they come, they say, guess what, Dad? Look what we found in the street. We found the Ketzoynes Pasim. Toreif Taraf Yosef. Who ripped him apart? The word Taraf is a word used exclusively in reference to a wolf, a ze'ev. A ze'ev, all of the creatures of Hashem, is the one that specializes in eating meat. Ze oichel basar. When you went to you, they said to Yaakov, Dad.
Get that, excuse me, from a wolf. Binyamin ze'ev yitroth.
But ze'ev yitroth. And in fact, right. A person has 32 teeth. We have 32 teeth. 28 are called chalokim, smooth. The back four teeth, the molars, are called the Shene Ze'ev. Because those four teeth in the back are used to chew meat. Why are they called the teeth of a wolf? We have 32 teeth. 32 teeth, 28 regular teeth, four molars that are sharp to chew meat. Ze Oichel Basar. They said to Dad, when you met Lavan and you wanted to marry Rachel, and he said he'll do it because ach atzmi ubisari, that dream has come to an end. Toreif toraf Yosef, the ze'ev, the ze oichel basar, has eaten up the dream that you wanted back when you married Rachel, and your father-in-law said yes, he will give you Rachel because ach atzmi ubisari ata. The word Ze'ev was an extremely painful thing for Yaakov and Avinu to hear. It only magnified the chait of Mechiras Yosef. Okay, we'll stop here, Rabbi Sai. Have a wonderful day. Stay safe. Enjoy. It's a beautiful day outside today. And the Mirtz Hashem will pick it up tomorrow.
It's too hot. Stay inside.
How was the sound today? My sound. Were you able to hear me clearly?
No problem.
Better than yesterday? Yeah. I'm using today a microphone.
We have to decide someday that three people want to talk. Someone should go first, second, third.
I have a microphone today.
Unless you raise your hand. And someone disengage the share properties of Zoom. I don't know if you know that.
Anyhow.
They disengage. What do they do? What do they do? Say it again. What do they do? Explain.
Who knows what they do?
On your front bottom, there's a thing called share. Take care, Mark.
On your bottom is what?
Share.
Share screen. Yeah. You can't.
As your host enabled attendee screen sharing.
So you can't share something?
But there was a way that while you were talking, if I wanted to send a...
Okay, I'll enable it for you. I'll enable it for you. I know how to change that.
It's your area.
Yeah. Okay, I'll enable it. I'll put it back for you. Okay, I'll put it back.
That's not
shared.
That's messaging.
All right, I'll take you with the
same. Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
I was reading a blog on a while back with the SS So one of the people who were one of the commanders of the Einsatz movement, a real sadistical killer. So he's writing, putting in his memoirs, and he writes that together with his group, there's also Ukrainian SS. You know, obviously involved in murdering Jews the whole day, or what they call partisans. And he writes at the end of the day that they that his soldiers, his SS, don't like the Ukrainian SS because they don't have any table manners. Like, for example, they don't eat with fork. They don't have basic manners when they eat. They don't eat with forks, wow. spoons, and knives. They eat everything with their hands.
Wow.
And how uncouth they are.
Wow.
So there you go.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The couth SS commented on the uncouth Ukrainian SS.
Right, exactly. So that's what, so there you go, right. Table manners.